In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When God created Adam and Eve in both natural and supernatural splendor, we were not meant to have the miseries of disease, of ignorance, of concupiscence, which so weighed down our daily lives. Nor was it planned by God that His beautiful creature should have to toil for his food or bear children in excruciating pain. Above all, God did not originally subject His creature, made in His image and likeness, to the fear of death and to the subsequent corruption in the grave. Rather, He was to pass from this life to the next without ever having to taste death. More important than all of these gifts was that of sanctifying grace, a quality which adorns the souls of the angels and of the saints of heaven and the friends of God upon earth. This quality is a sharing in the life of God by which we interiorly and intrinsically are made pleasing unto Him. By it we become His adopted children and the rightful heirs to what He has in heaven. God confided this sacred gift of sanctifying grace to Adam as a treasure that Adam would pass on to his offspring by means of generation. The children of Adam in God's plan would also be the children of God. And Adam would be not only the natural father of his children, but also in a way their supernatural father by being the instrument of the sanctification of their souls through generation. Now, fathers beget their children naturally and give them natural life. But because they are the children of sinful Adam, they also beget them in sin. They beget them in supernatural death. The serpent, the devil, appeared to Eve and tempted her to eat of the fruit which was forbidden by the law of God. And she accepted. And she, in so doing, became a child of the devil and ceased to be a child of God. True to her new vocation, she turns to her husband and tempts him. In the same way that the snake tempted her, she became the serpent, the devil, to her husband. He accepted, and now both were children of the devil and servants of sin. And the only thing that they could communicate to their children was this servitude of sin, the sentence of death, and the absence of the grace of God. As Adam would have transferred the sacred treasure of sanctifying grace, immortality, freedom from ignorance, from pain, and from concupiscence to his children by his seed, so now he has a new set of gifts for his children. These new gifts are enmity with God, slavery to the devil, gifts of pain, toil, disease, ignorance, tendencies toward impurity and gluttony, and finally death. With these interior tools of spiritual corruption, man will create the world that we know. The world of filth fornication and adultery, the world of hatred, bitterness, and murder, the world of avarice, worldliness, and gluttony, the world of atheism, agnosticism, and liberalism, the world of heresy and apostasy, the world of war, the world of disease and death. After God read this terrible sentence to Adam and his seed, he gave words of wonderful consolation to Adam and Eve. He said to the serpent, who is the devil, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." So for as much as the human race was punished by the sin of Adam and Eve, the devil was far more punished, and the wrath of God was vented far more upon him. For look at what he has, that he who is an angel by nature, and therefore excelling human beings by far in nature, must lie in wait for the heel of the woman who is the weaker sex of the human nature. He, an angel, must lie in wait for her heel, and she shall crush his head. And this is the only way in which to touch the devil and in which to punish him, because he is insensitive to pain, being a pure spirit. But what he is sensitive to is his pride. And therefore this curse upon the devil is the worst thing that God could have said to him. The woman here is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Her seed, that is her offspring, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Both Christ and the woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary, shall destroy Satan and the effects of Satan in man and upon the earth. As fearful as the sentence to Adam was, the sentence to the devil was far more severe. She shall crush thy head. Adam and Eve in their offspring and their offspring are children of the devil and in the service of the devil because of their sin, original sin and actual sin. Conceived in this sin, the devil has a type of dominion over each man until he is baptized. Even after baptism, although the stain of original sin is taken away, and although the dominion of the devil is taken away, the effect of original sin remains. The effect of having done the devil's work is still felt in us. And there is a strong tendency in us to do it again. And that must be fought by the grace of God. It is not until the final victory, a good and holy death, and union with God in heaven, that the devil will be completely overcome in our lives. Unfortunately, we can, and many do, fall back into his service, his dominion, by the commission of mortal sin. But enmity exists between the Blessed Virgin Mary and the devil. For this reason, it was necessary that Our Lady have no part with him whatsoever, for there could not have been a true enmity, a true war, if the devil had any claim whatsoever upon the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pope Pius IX, in defining the Immaculate Conception, said that the enmity between Mary and the devil and his offspring is the same as that of Christ himself. But the enmity between Christ and the devil is absolute and perpetual. Therefore, it must also be absolute and perpetual in our Blessed Lady. This enmity, therefore, demands the Immaculate Conception, so that Our Lady would be absolutely free from sin from the first moment, the first instant of her conception, absolutely free from the devil. For there are many who die without ever having committed actual sin, such as infants. And there are those who were sanctified and cleansed of original sin in the womb, such as St. John the Baptist and the prophet Jeremias. And there are those who go through their whole lives in their baptismal innocence, never having committed a single mortal sin. This was said of St. Thomas Aquinas by his own confessor after he died, that in his opinion, St. Thomas had never committed a single mortal sin. But although these things be true, nevertheless, all had been conceived in original sin, and therefore had known the dominion of Satan, and had been a part of his kingdom. But only Our Lady can say with her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that she never had any part with the devil, and that she was never a child of the devil through sin. Hence, in her Immaculate Conception, she is like, as the Scripture says, a great army arrayed for battle. She is in her armor, her uniform of battle against Satan. It is also fitting that just as the first woman, Eve, played the role of the devil in the destruction of the human race and committed the first sin of the human race, so the first sinless one of our race should be a woman. And through her Son, the Redeemer, lead the human race back from sin to grace. As Eve was the mother of sin, so Our Lady is the mother of grace. And as our father Adam so willingly took the fruit of disobedience from the hand of Eve, we in turn, redeemed children of God, must take the fruit of obedience from the hand of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as our father Adam so willingly took the fruit of impurity from Eve, let us take willingly the fruit of chastity and virginity from the new mother of our race. And as our father Adam did so willingly take the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hoping to be like God, let us take from our Blessed Lady the fruit of the tree of the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, who will truly make us like God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.